Hello and welcome to the second episode of The Sound of Science. My name is Julia Zimbauer, and I am the creator and host of this podcast. In the second episode of The Sound of Science, we will be diving into the relationship between music and Alzheimer's, and how music can aid as a stimulant to neurodegenerative diseases. But before we start, be sure to subscribe to the podcast as well as follow it on Instagram under The Sound of Science. And there's underscores between each word. Without further ado, let's get into this episode. Did you know that about 6.7 million individuals suffer from Alzheimer's just in the United States? About 10% of people aged 65 and older are dealing with it, while the probability of the disease increases with age to about 33% of people aged 85 or older. Let's unpack what Alzheimer's exactly is. Alzheimer's is a neurodegenerative disease that slowly disrupts memory, thinking, organizational skills, and even, down the line in later stages, skills necessary to complete everyday tasks. There is currently no cure for this disease, but there are treatments available. To start looking at what causes Alzheimer's, we look back to the brain. The two structures that have been linked to Alzheimer's are called plaques and tangles, which are part of protein fragments. Plaques are deposits of a protein called beta amyloid, which is a protein fragment, and these plaques build up in the spaces between nerve cells. This consequently affects connectivity across the whole brain. Tangles are part of a protein fragment called tau, and these twisted fibers build up in cells and start to slow cell functioning. These two structures are heavily involved with blocking cell communication and eventually starting to break down actual cells. This loss of neural connections across the brain contributes to Alzheimer's. As breakdowns happen after this, cells lose their abilities to function and eventually will die, which further deepens the damage in the brain. The damage of Alzheimer's typically starts in the hippocampus, which, if you listened to my last episode, is part of the brain that is involved in memory. This is why memory is typically affected first as a result of the beginning stages of Alzheimer's. There are three stages of Alzheimer's: mild, moderate, and severe. Within the mild stage of Alzheimer's, individuals usually have issues with learning new information, or it takes them longer to complete daily tasks. Moderate Alzheimer's is the longest state, where individuals experience significant memory loss and have difficulty recognizing faces, they'll have increased confusion, and they will start to physically wander without wondering why. The third stage is the most severe, where memory loss is almost complete and individuals cannot perform daily tasks. Some people lose the ability to communicate and they start to lack awareness of their surroundings. In some cases, a late form of Alzheimer's is typically referred to as dementia, with 60 to 80% of Alzheimer's cases leading to it. A typical wonder about the disease is what increases the likelihood of getting it in the first place. A few factors have pointed to hereditary components, and those with a close relative with Alzheimer's, typically it would be a sibling or one of your parents, if they have Alzheimer's, you are automatically at more risk for the disease later in life. A few types of genes have also been linked to increased probability of getting the disease. Now that we have a basis for understanding Alzheimer's, let's look at possible remedies to the neurodegenerative disease. Although we have no cure for it, there are multiple treatments available for Alzheimer's. One of these treatments, which is severely overlooked, is actually music. Music has an incredible ability to activate different parts of the brain, such as the auditory, emotional, and visual structures. The parts of the brain involved in remembering music are not as affected as other structures are by Alzheimer's. So to kind of get this conversation rolling, I wanted to bring up a really fantastic documentary that I recently watched in the past week. It's called Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory. And it's a film about the interaction of music and patients with Alzheimer's and dementia. The documentary features Dan Cohen, who is a social worker studying elders with dementia in nursing homes. The documentary follows specific patients with neurodegenerative diseases, showcasing the beneficial effects of music listening on these patients. Later in the documentary, Dan also makes a really great point to call for action within the healthcare system when it comes to the underrepresented music benefits that are rarely used in nursing homes. So to get his study rolling, Dan Cohen creates customized playlists of nostalgic music for each patient, playing them for the patients in their own individual iPod and headphone set. The reactions were absolutely incredible, and the documentary was actually really, really emotional. It was amazing to see how these patients were able to get back in touch with who they were before these diseases took over. One specific patient's journey, and whose video actually blew up online from this documentary, was particularly touching. His name was Henry, and he was a 94-year-old dementia patient in a nursing home. Suffering from the late stages of dementia, Henry was basically non-communicative, barely acknowledging the people around him and not saying more than a mumble when he was talked to. So Dan Cohen created this playlist of songs from Henry's childhood in the 50s, and he put a set of headphones on him. And it was actually insane to see the effects visually of what was happening. Henry was singing, dancing, recounting old memories, old songs, and even started responding to his name. He talked in fully coherent sentences and was completely animated after hearing all this music. My favorite part of this specific interview is when he was asked about how he felt after listening to this music, and he responded with, "It gives me the feelings of love and romance." A myriad of other patients showed remarkable similarities, with some even pushing away their walkers to get up and dance, all the while instantly recognizing the music played. A couple in particular who actually didn't reside in the nursing home was able to fully recognize the effects of music on dementia. In this couple, the husband, Norman, decided to treat his wife with dementia, Nell, without drugs and with music for 10 years. Listening to personalized music from her youth, Nell was up singing, dancing, and even getting emotional to the music that she once loved. During this study, Dan was given grants to put music into 35 nursing homes. After the 3-year study, he had music in 56 nursing homes. At the end of the documentary, Dan urges the viewers to notice that the real help for dementia and Alzheimer's resides in music, even though the business of it is in drugs. He aims to touch the hearts of his patients and help them create a new world with the help of music, and it was really astonishing to see. This documentary was incredible, again, and I can't emphasize how strongly I encourage you all to watch it. So let's get into the why of how these patients were able to become so reanimated after listening to this music. For starters, music stimulates the parts of the brain that aren't quickly degenerated from Alzheimer's. Music memory is able to be recalled in a different way than other memories, and this is partially because they are procedural memories. Procedural memories are almost like muscle memory tasks. A few examples would probably be swimming, driving, or playing an instrument. These memories are stored in a different area than typical memories stored in the hippocampus, which again is one of the first parts of the brain affected by Alzheimer's. This is part of why music memories are easily recalled, unlike traditional memories like names and faces that could get disrupted by Alzheimer's quickly. Music memories also are not stored in one area. Because it affects the motor, auditory, and emotional centers, dementia or Alzheimer's patients can recall songs quickly because of the overlap of systems involved. Another possibility for the reasoning behind the music in Alzheimer's correlation is neuroplasticity and neurogenesis. We had previously touched on neuroplasticity in the previous episode, but basically put, neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to create new connections, lose old ones, and basically structurally change. Neurogenesis is different, as it is the generation of neurons. Since music can evoke emotions, especially music shared in combined social settings, researchers are starting to look at the relationship of this in the brain. Researchers have speculated that these specific emotions can encourage neurogenesis in the brain, which might have a role in delaying or reversing hippocampal damage. These experiences might have the ability to activate anterior hippocampal formation or improve memory function. An additional reason behind this correlation is the role of dopamine. If you listened to my last episode, I dove into the role between music and the release of dopamine neurotransmitters. Dopamine is the reward neurotransmitter which helps us feel pleasure. Dopamine could be a cause behind the ability for these Alzheimer's patients to feel happier and actually be able to express these emotions while listening to music. When individuals listen to especially meaningful music, dopamine neurotransmitters are released, which can help increase mood and trigger more impactful emotions and actual physical responses. Some studies even go as far as to say that dopaminergic systems beyond just the reward system could play a role in motor functions. The last potential reason behind the relationship of Alzheimer's and music is the effects of music on the immune system. Music can create certain emotions and activate our nervous system. It can influence stress responses and immune system activity. And these positive effects could possibly hold a role in reversing or slowing neurodegeneration from diseases like Alzheimer's or dementia. Can music actually prevent this cognitive decline? In fact, it can. A study conducted by the University of Geneva found out that active listening to music, or even playing music, can help prevent cognitive decline. There was a study that was conducted on two groups of elderly people, with one group actively listening to music and the other learning how to play music. Over time, one of the study's biggest results was that there was a 6% increase in gray matter in participants' brain areas associated with high-level cognitive functions. Gray matter is where our neurons are located, which means that all of these individuals in this study had increases in neural connections when interacting with music through playing or through active listening. Within the study, this was linked back to the neuroplasticity of certain areas of the brain. To sum up, Alzheimer's is a neurodegenerative disease caused by a lack of neural connectivity and communication in the brain. Plaques and tangles, which are part of protein deposits, are reasons behind the types of cell death and loss of brain connection in the stages of Alzheimer's. It typically starts in the hippocampus, which is why memory starts to decline even in the mild stages of Alzheimer's. Hereditary and gene components can be the reason behind the increased probability of getting this disease later in life. On the topic of music, Alzheimer's and dementia can be greatly affected by the power of music. This is why many Alzheimer's and dementia patients are able to instantly recognize nostalgic songs. And not just this, but they have the ability to reanimate after listening to their favorite music. The centers involved in music processing are typically some of the last affected in the late stages of this neurodegenerative disease. Music memory is part of our procedural memory. It isn't all stored together in the hippocampus. It has functions in the motor, auditory, visual, and emotional centers, which means that this overlap of functions makes it easier for music to be recalled. This connection between music and Alzheimer's has also been tested to multiple other theories, such as neuroplasticity and neurogenesis, the increase of dopamine neurotransmitters while listening to music, and the effects of music on the immune system. All in all, we can take away that since music affects so many centers of who we are, recalling memories through music can be particularly emotional and powerful for those struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia. actively learning music or even learning how to play music has been linked to increased cognitive functioning. Within the study conducted by the University of Geneva, they found that gray matter in the brain, which is where neurons are, increased by 6% for individuals both playing and actively listening to music. Essentially, this kind of neuroplasticity in the brain can help support increased neural connections and positively correlate to higher cognitive functioning. If you guys are more interested in this topic, again, I'm going to say it again, I recommend the documentary Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory, which can easily be found on YouTube. It's about an hour and 15 minutes long, but again, I really think it's very worthwhile. I also started the book called I Heard There Was a Secret Chord by Daniel Levitin, and he also mentions the effects of music on neurodegenerative diseases and looks into that. For folks out there that want a more in-depth study of music in Alzheimer's, the paper The Promise of Music Therapy for Alzheimer's by Anna Marie Mazzaronines was a really great advanced read for those who want a more in-depth overview in the form of a research paper. Thank you all so much for listening to the second episode of The Sound of Science. I hope you've all learned some new information on how music can relate to neurodegenerative diseases, and I'm really pleased to take you on this journey as we unpack the many areas that music can affect us. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Sound of Science, which will be coming out in a few weeks. But for now, make sure to subscribe to the podcast as well as follow it on Instagram under The Sound of Science with underscores between each word. That's it for today, and I'll see you guys next time.